The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Friday, September 17th, 2021. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK at The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. Really happy to be back in here after a little bit of a hungry day yesterday observing Yom Kippur. Back here inside the air chair, inside the MDN studios, getting you ready for Michigan versus Northern Illinois tomorrow. Game number three, the final non-conference game of the season. And just like that, we'll be a quarter of the way through the Michigan football season, the third game in, when they play the Huskies again tomorrow. It was funny. I was talking to a neighbor yesterday. Saw a t-shirt that said Huskies on it, but those said Michigan Tech Huskies. And I'm like, man, Huskies everywhere. Washington Huskies, Northern Illinois Huskies, Michigan Tech Huskies. Obviously, Michigan Tech not in the football side of things. But Huskies aside, excited for football again this weekend. Excited to get back to the corner of Stadium in Maine tomorrow morning for the KeyBank countdown and kickoff. We will give away another pair of passes to the Bud Light Victor's Lounge. Also this morning, we've got a lot to get to when it comes to guests, right? This morning, we're going to have our buddy Joe Simon, and he's going to be a little early. He's going to be on at around 7:45. He's going to be early. He's got court today, so he's got to get to court, so we're going to get to him a little early. We'll get to the recruiting roundup a little delayed at around 8:30. We will get to our friends at the Polo Fields, and our friends at the Kitchen Door are going to be in at around 8:50 to tell you what's on the menu for the Bud Light Victor's Lounge. But also, as we've been telling you, we have two $100 Polo Fields, the Kitchen Door gift certificates to give away, which we are going to do later on this morning as well around that time at around 8:50. So hang out, listen to Nick, and we'll do a giveaway then. And also in the 9 o'clock hour, John Ubakin is going to join us for his normal Friday visit at around 9:05. And then in the last part of the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to bring in our friends from Jim Brady's Ann Arbor. You can find them at 209 Main Street in downtown Ann Arbor. And they are the brand new home for the Retirement Income Solutions Locker and Wrap-Up Show. So I'm really excited to be spending my post games for the rest of the season after every Michigan home game. I will be doing post game on the second floor of Jim Brady's in Ann Arbor. We were over there on Wednesday. I stopped by over there, and let me tell you, it was cool to go over there and check it out. So again, as I mentioned, 209 South Main Street is the address for Jim Brady's. We are going to be there in the for every post game show now for the home games for the rest of the season. We'll be on the second floor. They've got some high top tables and a giant TV. When I say they have a giant TV, it is the largest screen in a restaurant in town. It is the largest retractable TV in the state. It is 222 inches of high-definition television. They turned the lights down a little bit for us. There was a game on the TV when we were checking it out. And so we're really looking forward to being there. We'll be watching football. What's at 3:30 tomorrow? We've got Florida-Alabama is at 3:30 tomorrow. I don't think any of the – maybe Purdue-Notre Dame will catch the end of that. It's a 2:30 game tomorrow. So this is the games that are going to be on while we're there. But a great place to watch games. The third level's got the really cool booth seating that views the TVs. And it's kind of like private service because you're kind of hidden off from everybody else. Really cool place, Jim Brady's. We'll have the folks in from Jim Brady's coming in at around 9:50 this morning to talk about the new home for the Retirement Income Solutions Locker and Wrap-Up Show. So I hope you join me after every Michigan home football game at our new home. Really excited about that. Stepping our game up, heading on down to Main Street for the post-game show, and really excited about that. And we'll talk more about it coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So excited about that. Also excited about the news that happened yesterday. The Michigan football team picked up a new commitment yesterday. So the dividends are starting to pay up for cash in, whatever phrase you want to use. They're starting to add up after the big recruiting weekend last weekend when Washington was in town, the big under the lights game, and you knew it was a huge recruiting weekend. Sam highlighted it, talked about it. I mean, he talked about it a ton, right? Needless to say, he talked about it a lot. Well, trying to figure out Sam's starting to make predictions on who might be joining the class. The official word came in yesterday on social media from Mason Graham, who is a 3-star, 6'4", 295-pound defensive lineman from Anaheim, California. He had been a Boise State commit, and he came on the visit, and he was just blown away by everything that happened. And I mean, that's Fact is, it was an unbelievable atmosphere. We told you, the fans, that if you brought your A game, it was going to be an unbelievable atmosphere, and you did. The maze out was terrific. The noise was terrific. And obviously the performance on the field for a guy like a defensive tackle, a defensive lineman, he's going to love seeing what he saw out there on the field. And he saw that one, and he made a flip. It didn't take very long for him to flip his commitment from Boise State to Michigan. And I know people are going to look at the rankings and all that. And the coaches like the kid. The coaches want the kid, and they need the player. They need size along the defensive front. They're going to – I'm under the assumption, and Sam will give you more information about it, but I'm under the assumption that this is just the beginning of adding even more beef along that defensive line. So, but this is a good start. Mason Graham makes his announcement yesterday that he is committing to the Michigan football team. And so, again, really exciting for the Wolverines. And, again, that's just the first part of this. There will be other – as Michigan, if and when Michigan continues to win – there will be more payoffs when it comes to who was here this past week and what they saw and what they are hoping to get out of their college experience. You're going to have more and more kids flipping that switch and saying, I'm going to Michigan. It's just, he's the first. So congratulations to Mason Graham and the recruiting staff. And again, if you were a defensive lineman, if you were an offensive lineman, if you were a running back, really, if you were a defensive player in general, you were a running back, you were an offensive lineman, you were watching that game and you were going, I want to be a part of that. And so there will be more. There will be more. Mason Graham is the first. Again, 6'4", closing in on 300 pounds. And I think he at one point listed at 280, so maybe he's still, I don't know, 280 to 300, somewhere in that range. Point is, he's a big kid. He's a class of 2022 kid. He's going to join their class for next year, and he is going to help bolster Michigan's defensive front. So great news on that front for the Maize and Blue. We'll get more information from that from Sam throughout the morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050. WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. Sam will be on in just a little bit. He is down in the nation's capital. He is going to a high school game at Archbishop Carroll High School, which is, it's funny when he told me that, I was like, really? Carroll? For football? It's a basketball school. That's where John Thompson went. That's where John Thompson got his coaching career started. That's where it's big basketball school. Not really known for football, but that's where he is. And he even mentioned in a text message to me last night, a familiar name, not necessarily one that's going to put a smile on everybody's face, but a very familiar name when it comes to Michigan basketball. Brian Ellerby has, I believe, an affiliation with that school. So Sam is down there. He'll be on the show in just a little bit. He's excited for some high school football tonight, and then, of course, he's going to return home tonight and get ready for college football tomorrow. I'm excited for college football tonight and all through the weekend. I was having this conversation yesterday, or was it the day before? Somebody asked me the question. Oh, it was on Wednesday. I was over at Jim Brady's, our friends over there. They asked me the question, you know, why were there Big Ten games in the first 3 weeks of the Big Ten of the college football season, right? Big Ten schedule. Traditionally, in the last, you know, multiple decades and up until the last couple of years, it had gone, you know, well, it was 4 weeks of non-conference games and then 8 weeks, 9 weeks to play eight games, really, with a bye week built in. But you had four non-conference games and eight conference games. That was how the Big Ten built their schedules. And then they shifted and it went to three non-conference and 12 and nine in the conference to still get your 12 games. But the format stayed the same, even when it was three non-conference and eight conference games and you had 11 games. The format still stayed the same. It had been like that for a long time. But, you know, in the last, this season in particular, you had, was it three or four Big Ten games in the first week? You had Big Ten games last week. So, you know, you have key Big Ten games. Like today or tonight, you have Maryland at Illinois. It's the only Big Ten versus Big Ten game on the schedule this weekend, because the Big Ten schedule really gets underway in earnest next weekend when it's a full slate of conference games pretty much. But as asked the question, when did that change? And obviously, it's just been in the last few years where that, well, last year, throw it out because it was only conference games. But it's, there's been a few of these occurrences, but I like the way the schedule plays out. I like playing three non-conference games, getting things worked out, making sure your team is, you know, that you're all on the same page heading into conference play. Because, yes, you want to make the playoff and to make a really good bowl game, you want to win your non-conference games too. So I'm not dismissing the non-conference games. But if you stub your toe in a non-conference game, you can still win your division, you can still win your conference, and then you can still get to where you're trying to go. It's, if you would lose a non-conference game in the first week of the season, it could cost you at, by the end of the year. Maybe you win the rest of your games, but that team wins all their games, right? You know, if you're Penn State and Wisconsin, and Wisconsin loses. Now, I guess it's a little different with its crossover game. So maybe if your games are crossover games early in the conference play, it's a little less significant. But even then, losing a crossover game, if your other opponents all win their your other division opponents all win their crossover games to start the year, you're down again. You're behind the eight ball. Now, you win all your division games, you're generally going to be in pretty good position. But I like the separation of the Big Ten schedule, so I like that it fell that way for Michigan again this year. Three non-conference games wrapping up tomorrow, and then Big Ten play starting next week. But there is a Big Ten game tonight. If you are so inclined, Maryland at Illinois at 9 o'clock. Wow. It's interesting because Illinois got off to a really good start, or so you thought, when they beat Nebraska in the Week 0 game. And we've learned since then that that's really, you know, I mean, they lost to, what, UT, San Antonio. Illinois is, let's just say they put Nebraska where Nebraska belonged, right? And Nebraska, now, I don't know if Nebraska is going to treat Scott Frost the same way that Clay Helton got treated, but I was reading an article over the last couple of days about what happened at USC, and there were benchmarks put on Clay Helton that to do X, Y, and Z this year. The very first benchmark was to beat Stanford. It didn't happen, right? You don't hit that benchmark, you lose your job. And so it was pretty clear. He knew he had to hit that benchmark. He lost his job. That was the end of that. I don't know if there are benchmarks for Scott Frost to clear this year. I really don't. I assume that he's getting to that point if he's not already there. But you see that Nebraska looked, you know, obviously Illinois made Nebraska look really bad in Week 0. But Illinois has looked pretty poor since Week 0. And Maryland now goes to Champaign to play in that game tonight at 9 o'clock. I just expect a ton of points. I expect Maryland to put a ton of points on the board. I think Illinois can respond at least a little bit. I do expect Maryland to go on the road and get the victory. But this is one of those things about the early stages of conference play. You know, maybe whatever was ailing Illinois, you know, they figured it out. I doubt it. I think they have major issues on their roster, and those are not Brett Bielema's fault. I'm not sure that Brett Bielema is the guy to fix them, but, you know, it's really difficult to fix in year one. But Mike Locksley has added a lot of parts, and if his team stays healthy, in particular Talia Tagovailoa at quarterback, they're going to be a pretty potent offensive team, in particular against teams like Illinois, right, or against Minnesota, or against Rutgers, or against Northwestern. That's, Maryland should be putting up a lot of points against those teams, so I expect a lot of points tonight on the board in Big Ten action. And then tomorrow, some intriguing games. We're going to talk more about these tomorrow when we do our pick the winner segment. But Indiana hosting number 8 Cincinnati. We know Indiana got off to a really bad start with that loss to Iowa, but maybe Iowa's just that good of a football team. And Indiana, if they rebound, they can really put Cincinnati in their place, right? That's a really big game for Indiana and Cincinnati, for that matter, tomorrow at noon. So we'll talk about that one. The Michigan State-Miami game tomorrow at noon is a really big game for both teams. Miami, they show that they're not the team that got blown out by Alabama and that even struggled last week, even in a win. Is Michigan State, are they a resurgent team, or are they still a team that's very much in a rebuild mode? Will tomorrow's game show anything about that? A win on the road for Michigan State will show you something. Now, it may be more about Miami than it is about Michigan State, but at the same time, we'll see maybe a little bit in that game. I've mentioned this one before. This Minnesota-Colorado game is just intriguing to me because, again, these crossover games between the Big Ten and the Pac-12, just any opportunity to kind of compare these conferences, people are going to use them. So it's an intriguing game, whether it really means a whole lot or should matter at all. It probably shouldn't, but it's still going to be a game that people are going to use as a tally, Big Ten versus Pac-12. I think a lot of people are very intrigued by this Purdue-Notre Dame game at 2:30. Purdue scored some points this year so far and have gotten off to a decent start with their two wins. Now, granted, their two wins are, you know, versus Oregon State, which is a home win 30-21, and Oregon State's an team. And then they won at UConn 49-0. UConn is a train wreck of a program, so that's like going down the street and beating a high school team. It's like no offense to the players at UConn, but that's what Randy Edsall did. So we know really nothing about Purdue, but they go to Notre Dame, who barely beat a Florida State team on the road in the first game that we realize is not very good. And then they barely held on to beat Toledo last week. So Purdue at Notre Dame is a really intriguing game tomorrow at 2:30, which is one of the reasons why I'll probably have my eyes on that game, at least partially while I'm doing the postgame show from Jim Brady's in Ann Arbor. Obviously, Ohio State, Tulsa, Rutgers, Delaware, Iowa, Kent State, not intriguing at all. Northwestern Duke is only intriguing in the same way, I think, that Minnesota Colorado is, where people may talk about it in the crossover. But tomorrow night, big game tomorrow night. Very rare to have an SEC team, a good SEC team, a ranked SEC team come up north and play a ranked Big Ten team. It is very rare that that happens, but that's happening tomorrow night, a whiteout at Penn State. It's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. Can Auburn overcome those, overcome that hostile environment to pick up a big road win? Or can Penn State get a huge win for the program, a solid win for the conference, and I don't know, will it quiet down the James Franklin rumors or conversations about USC? Probably not. Will those be a distraction and cost them a game? I hope for the players not. For him, I don't really care, but for the players, I hope not. Fun day of college football coming up tomorrow. A lot of fun on this Friday still ahead here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.